Find our text for this afternoon, Luke chapter number 8. And if you're there, or when you get there, if you want to stand up, we'll invite you to do that. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 4 and read down through verse number 18. Luke chapter number 8, verse 4 down through verse number 18. The Bible says, "And a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those are whose by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, or setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Father, help us for a few minutes, we pray, as we try to divide the scriptures and preach what you've given to us. Lord, help it to go forth as you've given it to us. Lord, help somebody in the congregation tonight. Help somebody by the way of internet tonight. Lord, just bless your word. You said it would never return void. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. The parable before us is one that most of us are familiar with. We have either heard it or we have read it for ourselves. This is one of those unique parables in which the Lord not only gives us the teaching, gives us the parable, but he in the same chapter gives us the lesson of the parable. He expounds and expands and tells us what this story means. We do not have to guess. We do not have to try to figure out what the Lord is talking about. He just goes ahead and tells us what he's talking about right here in this same chapter. The parable of the sower, or the parable of the soul, however you want to look at it, the parable of the soul is recorded in both the book of Matthew chapter 13 and the book of Luke chapter number 8. Both writers tell us that at this time there was a great multitude that came out to hear Jesus preach. In fact, Matthew tells us the multitude was so great that Jesus had to borrow a ship, and he went out on the ship because the throngs of people that were on the seashore. And he goes out on a ship in the Sea of Galilee, and from there he teaches the word of God to the people. Now it is interesting that as he preaches, he begins preaching these parables of the kingdom. And the very first parable he gives us is the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soul. It is interesting that he gives us this parable first, because it very well could be that the people on the seashore could see illustrated at the very moment he was preaching what it was that he was preaching to them about. Now, I've never had the blessing. I would like to, before the Lord calls me home, I've never had the blessing of visiting the Promised Land. But they say that the Sea of Galilee, even to this day, is surrounded by fields. It very well could be that when Jesus gives this message about the sower and the soul and the seed and the Word of God, it very well could be that they could look around them and there were men in the fields at this very moment sowing their seed. And Jesus, seeing those in the field sowing, looks at the multitude and he said, well, the kingdom of God is like a man that goes out to sow seed in a field. You see, Jesus, in order to teach them something they did not understand, talked to them about something that they did understand. In this agricultural society, every person here this day knew the laws of sowing and reaping. Their livelihood was dependent upon the field. They were an agricultural society. So he starts with the truth they understood, and then he develops upon that a spiritual truth. The truth of the lesson is this. This is a lesson on faith. In fact, Luke chapter 8, the whole chapter is a chapter on faith. Everything that you find in this chapter deals with the one subject of faith. In fact, in chapter 8, he begins by giving us a lesson on faith. And as soon as the lesson on faith is over with, he says, boys, go get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. And he gives them a lesson on faith, and then he gives them a test on faith. Amen. How many of you would agree with me that the lesson's easier than the test? Amen. Oh, you remember what it was like to be in school, and the teacher said, all right, everybody put your books away. We're having a pop quiz today. Oh, going to find out how good you'd been listening in class. Oh, we never liked that, did we? Oh, but sometimes God says to our lives, I've got a pop quiz for you. And it's easy to sit in church and hear the message and listen to the Sunday school teacher and to get the lesson. But when you go out and God says, it's testing time. Oh, that's when faith is really, really proven. This is a lesson on faith. The parable of the soul has been on my mind for a couple weeks now. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to preach this text last Sunday, but the Lord did not allow me to. But it has returned to my mind this week and to my thoughts. And tonight I want to preach on this text, a simple thought. The title of my message is simple as well. I want to preach on the parable of the soul. The parable of the soul. This message is going to be outlined a little different than most. I actually have two thoughts that I want to give you this evening. I want you to see this first of all. I want you to see the teaching. I want you to see the teaching. The Bible says that the parable begins with a man that goes out sowing seed. If you study the text, you will discover a couple things very quickly. In fact, you do not have to question the meaning of these things. The Lord tells us what they mean. First of all, you discover that the initial picture of the sower is a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the original sower in our text. Now, we don't see that in Luke chapter 8, but we do see it in Matthew 13 where he gives the same parable. Here in Matthew 13, he gives the parable of the soul or the sower. And then he gives the parable of the tares and the wheat. And he tells them in the parable of the tares and the wheat, the man that went out and sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, the Son of God. Amen. So the initial picture of the sower is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while the Lord is the original sower in the text, it is not limited to him. You see, a sower is anyone that goes forth and gives out God's word. In fact, I submit to you, and I will submit to you by the time this message is over, if you have received the seed, then you should in turn be a sower of the seed. And so the Lord is the initial sower. But all of us have been given a bag of seed, if you'll let me say it that way. Every one of us have been given a bag of seed, and it is up to us to go sow our seed into this world. Amen. So we discover that the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it is us. Next, we discover what the seed is. The seed is the Word of God. The Scripture tells us that. It makes that clear. It says it in both Matthew and Luke that the seed is the Word of God. And this illustration makes sense, because seed and the Word of God have several things in common. Can I say that the Word of God is like seed in that it has life inside of it and it has power to bring forth life? Would you agree with me that the Word of God is life and has power to give life? Amen? Sure it does. Let me say that the Word of God is like seed in that it brings forth spiritual fruit. It is a fruit-bearing gift we have in the Word of God. Let me say this, and then I'll move on. The Word of God is like seed in that it cannot do anything until it is first planted. Is that not right? You can have a bag of seed. You can go to Walmart, buy a bag of seed, sit on your counter at home, and that seed will not do anything. If you want something to grow, you got to put it in the ground and cover it over with some dirt, pour some water on it. Is that not right? Amen. And the Word of God has to be planted in the hearts of men and women for it to bring forth fruit. Yes. I told you this is a chapter about faith, did I not? What is it, Romans chapter 10, verse, I want to say 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? So it has the ability, once planted, to do something. But finally, we see in our story, in our parable, we see that the soul is a picture of the heart of man. When a person hears the Word of God, that seed is then planted inside of their heart. What happens next? Well, it's up to the soul. The seed without the soul is fruitless. And the soul without the seed is useless. If the sower is the one giving out the Word of God, and the seed is the Word of God itself, then the soul is a picture of the heart of the man or the woman that hears God's Word. And if their heart is right, it can bring forth abundant fruit. And if not, that seed will die in their heart and be fruitless. In our parable, Jesus gives us four types of soul. I want us to notice these four types of soul. I said it this way for the sake of alliteration. I want you to see letter A. I want you to see the stony ground. I want you to see the stony ground. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." Now look at verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." The Lord tells us that this soul represents the heart of the man or woman that hears the Word of God, but immediately allows the devil to snatch what they've heard away so that it does not have time to bring forth fruit. This soul is snatched away, it is stolen away, because the ground it fell on was hard, it was stony, it was compacted to the point that the seed could not penetrate it. Now we've got to ask ourselves the question, if this heart or this seed is so hard that the Word of God cannot penetrate it, how did it get that way? Well, I want you to notice the wording of the text. "And a sower went out to sow his seed, and some fell by the wayside." Do you see that phrase, the wayside, in verse number 8? Verse 12, "those by the wayside." There it is again. The wayside is the patch of ground that ran between my field and your field. In the Palestinian country of these days, they did not travel like we travel. They did not have cars, and they did not have roads and highways and interstates. They had to walk almost everywhere they went, or if they didn't walk, they rode an animal. And most of their traveling was done through fields. And so in order to preserve as much of the field as they could, in between the fields and through the fields, they would have what they called a wayside. And it was a path that they traveled from place to place.
and you traveled the wayside, and it was narrow, Brother Scott. They say that it could have been as narrow as 3 feet. It wasn't a very wide path, trying to preserve their fields. And you traveled, you took your animal down, you took your feet down that wayside. And over years of people walking on that wayside and people traveling down that wayside, that soil would become firm and compact, and it would get hard, and it would get firm over the years of somebody traveling on it. And Jesus said now that this heart is, well, it's like a wayside, you see. You see, there are many hard-hearted people in our world today. And because of the hardness of their heart, the Word of God cannot penetrate them. It cannot puncture them. It cannot pierce their soul so that it can grow root and it can bring forth fruit. There are many that are hard-hearted because, well, they're hard-hearted because they've been traveled on. Oh, that's right. Some people are hard inside because others have frequently walked on them. Oh, they've been so frequently walked on by others that they're hard inside. I'll tell you, somebody that's hard to win to God is somebody that's been really hurt in their past. Maybe somebody that's been physically abused or somebody that's been mentally abused, they get hard. And because of the abuse of their life, they put up barriers and they put up walls and they won't let anybody in. Sometimes it's hard for them to even let God in. But I submit to you that some are hard-hearted because they have allowed sin to trample in their life for so long. You understand that everything that goes in your eyes and goes in your ears walks over your heart. That's the reason the Bible says not to set any vain thing or any evil thing before your eyes. Because what you see affects your heart, and what you hear affects your heart. And there are some people that the Word of God cannot affect them because sin has walked over them for so long. And they are hard to it. They are firm inside, and the Word of God cannot penetrate them. They said in these days, as I studied this out, they, in order to preserve seed, those sowers knew exactly how much seed to put in their hand when they grabbed it out of the bag. They did not want to waste any seed. And they knew how many steps to take before they would cast that seed out again. They would reach in their bag and take a certain number of steps and cast that seed. But it was inevitable. It was inevitable as you were sowing toward the edge of that field. It was inevitable that when I cast my seeds, some of them would hit that wayside. And the Bible says this. It says as he's sowing his seed, as he's giving out his seed, some of it hits that hard ground and it can't go into the earth. And so the birds come and they pick it up before it has the chance to go down into the earth. I'm not a farmer, but I know that a bird is a farmer's enemy. A bird is a farmer's enemy. A bird will steal your seed. Why you think they put scarecrows up in the field? They want to keep the crows away because they'll steal the seed or steal the crop. And he says in our text, he said the birds will come and steal that seed. And then he tells us in verse 12, the bird is the adversary. It is the devil. And what happens is this. The man of God gets up and he's sowing seed and he's giving out the Word of God. He's trying to tell people about Jesus. And he's trying to tell them about heaven and hell. And he's trying to win them to God. But they're so hard that before that Word of God can do anything to them, the enemy comes. And he comes with stubbornness. And he comes with procrastination. And he comes with bitterness. And he comes with anger. And he steals the seed before it can do anything. You ever heard anybody say something like this? Church, it's just not for me. I know you read the Bible, but that Bible, it's just not for me. You ever heard that? Sure you have. You ever heard anybody say, They didn't even know, wasn't even sure if there was a God. Amen. Oh yeah, sure you have. We hear it all the time. Psalms 53:1 says that it's the fool that hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know why they're saying that? They are saying that because they are hard. Something or sin has trampled on them for so long. God's word has a hard time penetrating their heart. I wrote this down in my notes. The hard heart is the one that is never broken up by conviction, and it is never softened by repentance. The heart grows callous to the point that the fear of the Lord is no longer fearful. And you try to tell them about hell, and they laugh in your face because they're not afraid of hell. They're hard. In Jesus' day, the hard-hearted group was a group called the Pharisees. Jesus, the initial sower, sowed his seed for three and a third years. And he sowed his seed everywhere he went. But they were so hard-hearted that instead of receiving the word of God, they crucified the one giving it out. I see the stony ground, the hard ground. Number two, letter B, however you want to write it in your notes, I guess it would be letter B. I see not only the stony ground, but I see the shallow ground. The shallow ground. Verse 8, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Drop to verse 13. And on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This soul is very different than the first soul. This soul does not represent the hard-hearted man, the hard-hearted woman. Instead, it represents the emotional man or the emotional woman. This is the person that hears the word of God, and they are moved emotionally, and they immediately respond to it. But in a short space of time, the emotions run dry, and they are gone. When a seed germinates, it begins to decompose. And in the process of decontamination, two things happen. One, roots shoot down, and a stump shoots up. Does it not? Now, here's what would happen. In this Palestinian land, it was not uncommon for a patch of soil to grow over limestone. There would be beds of limestone in the ground, and the soil would cover the limestone over. And so the sower, not knowing the limestone was there, would go out and he would sow his seed. And as he sowed his seed, that seed would break open. The roots would go down a short distance and it would hit that limestone. And because it couldn't go down very far, it shot up quick. And it would shoot up out of the ground and it would fool the farmer. He would think he was going to have a tremendous crop that year. Maybe the best crop he had ever had. I've never seen the plants come up that fast. But as the sun come up and started beating down on that plant, because the roots could not go deep and get moisture, it did not take many days for the sun to dry up the plant and it to die. This happens in churches all the time. Now I'm going to say something, and this may make some folk uncomfortable, but this is just the way that it is. There are people that run to the altar, and oh, they cry and they cry and they cry. And they say, oh, I've made things right with God. And the preacher gets excited. And the church gets excited. And then in a couple weeks, you begin to notice they ain't coming around no more. You say, I wonder where they were. Boy, I thought they really got it. But they're out. And they're gone.
Can I say something right here? Can I say that joy is not a sign of true religion? People get excited about all sorts of things. That's right. If I tell my kids that after church we're going to Pizza Inn tonight, we're not. If I tell them we're going to Pizza Inn tonight, they got excited just in my message as it was an illustration. Yeah, that's Pizza Inn. Excited. People get excited about all sorts of stuff. And some people get excited about religion, but it's an emotional experience, not a spiritual experience. John chapter number 6, there's a multitude following Christ. A big group of them. You know why? He's performing miracles and he's feeding their bellies. He's taking fish. Now you got to understand, he's taking fish that have never been born into this world. They've never swam in the ocean one time in their life, but they're already pickled and he's handing them out. People are getting fed. Multitude. And he gets in a ship and he goes to the other side of the seashore. And they come over there looking for breakfast. That's what the Bible says. They come looking for breakfast, but he doesn't feed them that day. We need a sign. Bring manna down from heaven. He said, I give you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. As he was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly. I'll give you a sign. It's the sign of the Son of Man. They said, you ain't feeding us. And he said, nope. And they left. Where'd the crowd go, preacher? They were emotional. They were not spiritual. Amen. In this illustration, the Bible says it is the sun that kills the plant. The sun represents the testings that come to all of those who proclaim the name of Christ. If the plant has roots, the sun or the testing is good for the plant. It'll help the plant grow bigger and grow stronger. But if the plant has no root, it'll dry up and it'll die. You see, troubles and persecutions are good for two reasons. Number one, they strengthen those who are real. And number two, they show us who's not real. I see the stony ground. I see the shallow ground. Letter C, I see the stuffed ground. I see the stuffed ground. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 14, that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked of the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. These are they which do not repent or are unwilling to weed out the things that would hinder them from serving Christ. Unlike the other two, these have enough room and enough depth to their soul to, well, they have enough room to bring forth fruit. They simply don't have enough room in their heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the seed or the word of God is choked out in their life. Now, a good farmer, he does his very best to get all the weeds out of the garden, does he not? Amen. He knows that weeds are not good for the seed, so he cultivates the ground, he tills it, he plows it. But how many of you know that weeds grow better than anything? Weeds grow well. The weeds, let me just say this. When we plant seed in the ground, you know that seed is foreign to the ground. But those weeds, that's its home. That's its turf. Why do you think it grows better there? Hey, you take somebody that gets saved and plant them in the world, or you try to get somebody saved in this world, it'll choke them out. Yeah. That's right, friend. But watch this. The weed sucks the moisture out of the ground, keeping it away from the good plants. It takes the nutrients from the soil that the seed needs to grow. Its big leaves overshadows the plant to keep the sun from getting it. Eventually, with all this happening, the seed dies because the weeds have killed it. Jesus mentions the things that
that kill out the gospel before it can bring forth fruit. He mentions things like the cares of life and riches and pleasures take these things away. Two of the hardest groups of people that you'll ever win to God are people that are very poor and people that are very rich. You see, the cares of life keep them from Jesus Christ. In the very next chapter, Luke chapter number 9, at the bottom of the chapter, three groups of people come to Jesus Christ. And they're going to be believers. They're going to be followers. Oh, we want to follow you, Master. We want to go with you. The first one, Jesus looks at him and he says, there's no promise of fame or fortune. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he went away sorrowful because he had a lot of possessions. The next one said, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my father first. And the next one said, I'll follow you, but let me go bid them farewell at home first. You see, it was always, I will accept you, I will follow you, I will be a disciple, but let me do this first. I'll come to church, but I need to get a few things worked out in my life. I'll get in church just as soon as I get my career going. I'll go to church whenever I have a family. I'll go to church, I'll accept Christ, but right now, you know, I've got this going on, we've got ball, and we've got work, and we've got PTA, and we've got school, and we've got, you know, I've got to work on my financial program, and on it goes. And it's not that the Word of God is not going into their heart. It is that they've got so many things that are choking out that Word of God. I see this last letter D. No, letter D. I see the successful ground. The successful ground. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But on the good ground, verse 15, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is the only soul out of the four that is fruitful. This soul illustrates the man or the woman that hears the gospel. They understand what they hear, they receive what they hear, and they are truly saved. This person produces fruit over time. I've heard it said, and I'll say that it's true, the proof of the root is in the fruit. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writing to that Thessalonian church says in verse 13, he said, for this cause we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, or the seed, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said, you received the word of God, then it worked on you. In our sister passage of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus says, and others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus makes two things clear. First, he makes clear that not every believer will bring forth the same amount of fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30, he says. Not every believer is going to bring forth the same amount of fruit. Now, I point that out for this reason. The devil will tell somebody, because you aren't feeling, seeing, doing, bringing forth as much fruit as this person or that person, you're not saved. Yeah, sure you will. Sure you will. You don't shout in church like they do, you must not be saved. Oh, I promise you. You don't seem to feel what they feel, you must not be saved. Things don't work out good for you like they work out good for you. Must, and on it goes. And I don't have to tell you what it is he puts in your mind. You know, because it's there. You know something that's dangerous? Let me tell you something that's dangerous in this social media hour that we live in. Let me tell you something that's dangerous. What's dangerous, and it's always been dangerous, comparing yourselves amongst yourselves, you're not wise. What's dangerous is when you compare your life with somebody else's life on Facebook. Let me tell you what happens. In this, spiritually, this is what happens. What you see on Facebook, somebody's highlight reel. You turn on ESPN, and they'll show you a clip of the baseball game last night. They don't show you, Dad, every pitch that was thrown. They don't show you the 2-1 count, that fourth pitch. They don't show you that. You know what they show you? They show you the home runs. They show you the diving catches. They show you the dramatic double plays. That's what they show you. Boom, 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 and then they move on. Had two saved in church today and baptized three. Well, amen. Wonderful. Won somebody to God today while I was at Walmart. Praise the Lord. God answered my prayer today. I've been praying. God just answered it. Well, amen. Thank God. But you know what they don't do? They don't put on there. Had just a regular church service at church today. Nobody got saved. But, you know. They just give you the highlight reel. And what we do is we see the highlight reel and we say, well, that didn't happen at my church. That didn't happen when I went to Walmart. That didn't happen last time I prayed. The devil says, well, that's because you're not real. Not everybody's going to bring forth the same amount of fruit, I guess what I'm trying to say. All right? Jesus makes it clear not everybody's going to bring forth the same amount of fruit, but he also makes a second thing clear. He makes it clear that everybody will bring forth fruit. You may not bring as much forth as I do, and I may not bring as much forth as you do, but if that seed is in there, you can't help but bring forth some fruit. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me bringeth forth fruit. Amen. He that bringeth not forth fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Right? May not bring forth the same fruit, but you'll bring forth fruit. So what fruit will I bring forth? Well, it could be that you bring forth the fruit of witnessing, Romans 1:13. You may bring forth the fruit of giving, Romans 15:25 through 28. The fruit of good works, Colossians 1:10. The fruit of a godly character, Galatians 5:22, 23. The fruit of praise and worship, Hebrews 13:15. It could be all sorts of things, but if you got the seed, you're going to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Parable's all about the soul. I don't know if you've picked that up or not. The seed is perfect. The same seed is used in all four of our illustrations. The seed does not change. There ain't nothing wrong with the seed. And the sower, nothing is said about the skill of the sower. It all has to do with that heart. Let me give you this right here, and I'm going to be finished. I see not only the teaching, but I see the truth. Jesus gets through giving the parable in verse 8, and he cries, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You know what that means? Did you understand what I said? Are you listening? Jesus tells this story, makes it clear that he was not impressed with the crowds that followed him. There were cities that he entered in. They pressed upon him. There were times when there were so many that he couldn't hardly move about the crowd. But none of that impressed the Lord, because he knew that while many people would hear the word, few would actually accept it.
I wonder if this wasn't an encouragement to the disciples in their future ministry. I know it's an encouragement to me. I'd like to believe that everybody that hears the Word of God will be saved. I'd love to believe that, but the reality is that not everyone that Jesus preached to got saved. He was pretty good at it, too. In fact, not everybody in his congregation was saved. He had a 12-member congregation. And they fought half the time. I guarantee you, there's Baptists. They fought half the time. And one of them wasn't even saved. The fault is not the gospel. The fault is the soul, the heart of man. Think about something for a minute with me, please. Would you consider the amount of gospel that is going forth today? I submit to you that the gospel is going forth larger today than it ever has in the history of the Word of God. So how could that be true? It's true because of technological advances. You know, in days gone by, you had to wait for the circuit riding preacher to show up and preach the Word of God, and you may only catch him once a month. But at this very moment, there are churches all across the world, preachers all across the world. There are messages going out on the radio. You go to your car right now and you flip a few stations and you'll hear a preacher. Television, you flip the television channels, you'll find a preacher. Right? Think about the internet. I can listen to a sermon from a man of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I can listen because the internet has made that possible. We don't see it at Northside Baptist Church, and we're still growing in this, and it'll get bigger, I believe that. But we have a bigger ministry than what we actually see. It amazes me. I hear almost every week of somebody that's listening to the messages online that I had no idea they listened. Happens all the time. You see, the Word of God is going out in large capacity. But Brother Wally, the majority of the world is lost and going to hell. Amen. It's not the gospel's fault. It's the heart of man that is at fault. So I see two things. Letter A, I see the sower's responsibility. Verse 16, 17, he says, don't light a candle, put it under a vessel or put it under a bed. He's still talking about the Word of God. When Jesus finishes, he tells them the importance of sharing the gospel. You can't hide the gospel. The Word of God is something that you cannot bury inside and keep to yourself. We're often stingy with the gospel. The truth of the Word of God is something that we should let shine forth from our lives on a daily basis. You and I have been called to go out and sow the seed. The seed is perfect. This Word of God is perfect. I mentioned a minute ago, nothing said about the skillfulness of the sower. Hey, can I make a suggestion? Just sling it out there.
Amen.
So I don't know what to say. Just say something. Just say something. And just because you are skillful don't mean that you'll have super results either. We need to get the Word of God out. And we need to do that day by day with our lives. Let me say, don't get discouraged when most of the people that you talk to about the Lord maybe don't accept what you're saying. If you go up to somebody and invite them to church, tell them about God, tell them what God's done for you, and they laugh at you, you just tell somebody else.
Yes. Amen.
You ain't going to win them all. Jesus didn't. But at the same time, don't walk around with one single seed in your basket just waiting for the right person. Maybe this one. And we're waiting for the right opportunity. Hey, the more seeds you throw out there, the greater likelihood that some of it's going to fall on good ground.
Yes.
I see the sower's responsibility. I see the soul's responsibility. Verse 18, he says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whatsoever for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and so on. Notice the seriousness of hearing the Word of God. If we fail to share the gospel, we are in danger. However, if we share the gospel and they do not respond, they are in danger. Every time somebody hears the word of God, they're faced with a decision. When a lost man or a lost woman hears the scriptures from a preacher, from a gospel tract streamed over the internet, as you bow your head and pray over your lunch at work, whatever it is, and they see the gospel, they're faced with a decision. And what they do with it is up to them. But he said, take heed how you hear. Serious business. I want Brother Scott to come get us a song. Invitation tonight. I always like to give an invitation before we close. Let me give two tonight. Say, number one, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, tonight's a good night to get saved. You've heard the word of God. You've been presented with the truth. Now it is up to you what you do with the word of God. Do not be hard-hearted. Do not let the cares of the world choke it out, but receive the word of God as it is. Let me say number two, if there's somebody here tonight and you want to come pray, say, God, make me a better sower. God, help me to sow the word of God. Not be discouraged. Maybe you want to come pray about that. Whatever it is, while he sings, you're welcome to come. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody you've been sharing the gospel with. Maybe you want to come pray that their hearts would be broken up. That seed could get in there. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. Many are praying, you can come. Okay, thank you for being in the Lord's house tonight. Remember all the announcements that we made this morning, the events coming up at the end of the week, don't forget those, and the menu for the pastor.